We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
The Stanley Cup playoffs are finally upon us, and of course there are several questions that need to be answered.
Have you ever watched a hockey game and actually stayed awake for the entire game?
Who wants it more, Kenny?
Do hockey players get turf, though?
The tough ones. You don't play on turf.
Which goalie stands on their head?
Who's good in the neutral zone?
You know the one thing I like about hockey, though? You'll never
hear... you hated hockey.
I do.
Are they going to light the lamp or what?
You think Sweeney's done, Christian?
He's done. My son
you
came home the other day.
Playoff hockey?
Oh, yeah, it's the greatest thing in the world. Playoff hockey is awesome.
And the return of Hockey Glenn, hopefully, today at some point.
I'm hours of Hockey Glenn tomorrow.
Anything could happen
post-season,
in a seven-game series.
Thanks, Glenn.
Right now.
Watching hockey for one of the rare times, we welcome you to this and hope you're enjoying it.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Talking about it, it's all hockey all the time. Christian, right out of the gate, gave his prediction.
Yep.
Toronto in six, he said.
Oh, yeah, Toronto.
Toronto in six.
You know why I gave that prediction, right?
Because you couldn't get anything out of it. You didn't get anything out of it.
Exactly, because the real goal is to have Vegas and Boston play each other, and somehow OMF makes the trip to Vegas, and Dale stays behind.
So if we found out...
Dale would not be happy with that.
Dale's got Ness and responsibility. They have to stay behind.
That's a good point.
If we were told that we would go to Vegas or Nashville... You would then predict the Bruins to win?
Yes, yes. Well, not necessarily win, but, you know, they would go to the finals. Because Nashville would be a fun place to go at this point, this time during the year. I'm sure it's a lot warmer. Vegas is the real goal.
Yes.
If, you know, and here's the thing. So we went to the Super Bowl for the Patriots. We went to L.A., and I really wanted that to happen. I wanted Boston, L.A. I
World
willed
Series.
It into existence. We saw two games out there. So if it's Vegas in Boston, we should go to Vegas. That is part of the deal.
What did the boss already tell you?
Well, I think that was his initial reaction.
His initial answer was no.
He needs to think about it. He needs to give him some time. We can sell this.
Yeah.
OMF in Vegas, baby.
Cheap
tickets.
No, they're not going to sell
it. You're telling me these guys can't sell this?
Yeah, we can sell. I get a good deal. I know a guy out there.
I know. You got tons of guys.
Then we'll get the big fat guy in the middle seat.
That's the problem. POS is all over
the
place.
So the Bruins open up tonight, and we started the show at 2 o'clock talking about the expectations, and so we'll throw it out to you. I think everybody's looking at it saying they need to beat Toronto. And if they beat Toronto, they play well against Tampa Bay. By the way, already down 0-1 in their series to Columbus, but don't worry about that.
They'll win.
It's the NHL. And then you're going to be satisfied. You're going to be ecstatic? No. But you're not going to be pissed off. The only guy I think that's got something to prove in all of this is Tuukka Rask, because everybody talks about Tuukka Rask. Ooh, Tuukka Rask in the postseason. Suppose they go... with Halak, if they got to go with him in any of these games in the series, which they might because he played a lot during the regular season, but if Tuukka's not playing well and you go to the backup goaltender, what does that do to him going forward?
Well, the problem that he has, and I would agree, right? Because, I mean, you say that, though, but, you know, when the series is over, we'll look back and, you know, if Marchand has, like, 1 point in the series and they lose, you know, there'll be criticism towards him. So individual players, if they just don't show up, you'll get on them.
But doesn't he have more to lose than all those other guys?
It's all about goaltenders. You know, here you are now in the NHL playoffs and the goaltender will stand on your head, all that crap. But you're playing Toronto, who, you know, well, I think they're second or third in the league in goals scored. Maybe second in the league, 5-on-5 goals scored. Then if you get past them, you got Tampa Bay. Are you kidding me? Like, number one team in the NHL. They got firepower up and down the line. This Toronto team's got three lines that can score. So if you lose, I mean, I think there are going to be, I don't think his number's going to be great because you're going up against a couple offensive teams. So there's going to be a lot of, you know, 5-3, you know, 5-4 games. Could be a 6-3 game mixed in there somewhere. So I don't think his number's going to be great. And if they lose, it'll be all eyes on him.
See, the thing is, like, you look at Rask and, you know, people judge him, I think, the wrong way. I think he's the victim of unnecessary Tim Thomas expectations. People look
from
at Tim
0-11.
Thomas.
Right.
Yeah, the people look at Tim Thomas. They look what he did. And suddenly, even though Rask is a good goalie, you know, had a long career, one of the best the Bruins have ever had, and you sit there and you're comparing him to Tim Thomas. So if he doesn't reach those expectations, he's a failure.
That's standing on your head.
And that's
Tim Thomas in 2011.
So, yeah, and so
down.
How often does that happen? So, I mean, I know in the end, it's if the goalie doesn't, you know, do his job, yeah, okay, but he can't stop everything. So I think those expectations, he's a victim of those expectations.
Okay.
So he can have a good game and have a good series, whatever, and they still lose, and he's still going to be blamed.
Yeah, I think he's got the most to lose for the Bruins in this thing. So we all agree that if the Bruins get by Toronto and they play well against Tampa Bay, even if they lose, we're okay with it. The Celtics, on the other hand, have just lost, I think, maybe the third most valuable player when you're talking about his role.
Not Al?
Al number two, maybe?
Okay.
I would say that Marcus Smart, to me, I wouldn't call him the third most important player during the regular season, Lou, but when you get to the playoffs,
no, you're right,
and when you talk about key turning points in a game and what he does, stripping the ball away, things like that.
He makes winning plays. We all know
absolutely.
Late in games. And the other thing, too, is you lost your shutdown defender, which is huge in the postseason.
Bogdanovich, I mean, in the first round.
You got a guy that can just start going off, starts getting hot. Next thing you know, it's like, all right, Marcus, slow him down a little bit. You need that, because if you don't have anybody to stop him, now what do you got? You got one guy taking over a game and stealing a win. No, that's a huge loss. There's no question about it. But I still don't think it should take away from your expectations.
Which
I still feel like this is, in my mind, this is still a team. I know they haven't looked like it, but they should get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Mm.
And I would even add to
that. And they should maybe even get to the NBA Finals.
So you have
I don't think they're going to. It's a different team, but I'm just saying your expectations should still be there.
Yes, and you didn't have Marcus Smart in the beginning of last year's playoffs because he had the thumb. And this year, you basically have two new free agents, two max players, basically. I'll just call them that. And Kyrie Irving didn't play last year in the postseason, and Gordon Hayward didn't play at all last year, and definitely not in the playoffs. So you add those two guys with all the other guys and the experience that those young players had last year, then if you don't go to the finals, of course it's a failure. You added two great players, and you still have all the other guys. So Jaylen Brown has experience. Tatum has experience. Horford is who he is. You don't have Marcus Smart. You have Terry Rozier now, right? So Terry Rozier suddenly becomes more important. His role is now elevated based on the fact that Marcus Smart is not out there.
All right, so and the big difference to me, and this is why I don't have great expectations for the Celtics, I think they get to the second round, and we won't know who's going to be healthy by the time you get to the second round and who isn't on either team. But I would say they get as far as Milwaukee. They get as far as that second round, and because they didn't get home court advantage, it's going to cost them. Now, the NHL is different, and we saw it last night, three upsets. Three of the home teams ended up losing the first game of the series, all right? The NHL is different. You can win on the road. To me, if you're telling me which one of these teams, the Bruins or the Celtics, can go deeper into playoffs, as good as Tampa Bay is in that second round, and people call them the Golden State of the NBA, it's not the NBA. It's the NHL. You do get upset. You do get goaltenders. So, you know, maybe Tuukka Rask outplays Frederik Andersen in the first series. Then he outplays in the second series. I'm telling you, I think the Bruins have a better chance of getting to the finals than the Celtics do.
I agree. I trust that team. And it's a different sport. You're 100% right. As good as Tampa Bay is, and would I predict them to beat Tampa? No. But I think if you're a Bruins fan, you'll be pleased at their effort. Maybe it'll take them 6-7 games, whatever it might be. But I still think they got a better chance of winning than the Celtics team that I just refuse to trust. I still think Indiana's going 7, and that was before Marcus Smart went down. I have no reason to trust them, you know, so do I think that they can turn it on? No. No, I don't. I have no reason to.
Well, they better win the first two against Indiana, Lou. They better win the first two.
Down the stretch, there would have been those, like, okay, here it is. Let's turn it on for a game just to see if it's there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And was it the Indiana game at home when they beat them by, like, a bucket? I don't think so. You want to turn it on and let me know it's there? Beat that team by 25 at home. Send a message. I don't think there should have been moments where they flipped the switch during the regular season. Just a heat check.
No, I think over the last dozen games or so, people started to get excited about Gordon Hayward. And my guess is Hayward will end up starting in this game on Sunday.
Over Jaylen Brown?
I think so, because I think they like Jaylen Brown coming off the bench, and they also like Jaylen Brown to come off and play part of that Marcus Smart role. So the starting lineup, again, doesn't mean that much. But Jaylen Brown, I think they like that role of him coming off the bench. So, but you're right. When you look at it overall, Indiana's going to play their ass off. Indiana's going to play defense. You better win the first two games, because if you give them any chance in this thing, Indiana's not going down.
They should sweep Indiana. They were 3-1 against them during the regular season. Indiana, they're a bunch of frauds. We had Scal on them. They're dropping like a rock. They're not the team that everyone thinks they are. Since Oladipo left, I mean, they're basically a 500 team. And so they're playing against a lot of crappy teams. They only had like 4 wins against good teams. So I can think, as inconsistent as the Celtics are, they should still be fine against Indiana. They're just overall a better team.
They should be. They're a better team.
And if they go out there,
Oladipo, you might talk differently.
So fine, but it's irrelevant because he's not playing, so it doesn't matter. But they should sweep this team, get a nice long rest. And if they don't, if this series goes the distance, you need to. Come on. You can't. Okay, if everything you're saying during the regular season,
would you be surprised if it goes the distance? Like, that's what I mean. You guys would sound shocked. I wouldn't.
I have no faith in Indiana.
They should take care of them in 5, Lou. They should win the first two, and then Indiana takes game 3. You take game 4 so you can wrap it up with game 5 at home. That, based on the talent
that's
of the two different teams,
should happen. That's what should this team have won 49 games in the regular season?
Right. But this may be.
I don't think they should have.
But this might be the tightest series in the East. Though I think some people really like Orlando against Toronto. I'm not sure I'd buy that. Yeah.
Now, Toronto's not going to – they're not getting bounced. Toronto, new team, new everything, new coach, that's not going to happen.
But the Bruins do give you the feeling that they could go on a run. And yet, I think we have a shorter ceiling here for the Bruins. I don't think anybody's going to be pissed off if they get to Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay is just a better team and beats them. And yet, with the Celtics, Lou's already said it. People are expecting this team to go deep into the playoffs. I don't know how you expect them to go deep in the playoffs to play the first round. They get home court advantage. Then the next two rounds against two really good teams, two teams that are better than they were a year ago, much better, and they get the home court on you. I don't know how you expect them to win.
Well, I would even say the fact that – see, I actually devoted some time to last night's game.
About time.
To Tampa's game. And I was seriously – it was like 3-1. I'm like, all right, I'm done.
Did you give up on it?
Let me give up. I just wanted to make sure. Yeah, I thought it was done. And next thing, and I'm like, what? Okay, so that's the best thing that could happen to Boston. The fact that the best team in hockey had a lead and just kind of gave it up. So if you're Boston, if you're nervous or if you have a lead, there's no way they're taking their foot off the gas. Because obviously, you can see what will happen. And the last thing you want to do is lose at home the first game of the series.
I don't see it happening. Not with the Bruins. They don't disappoint you. I just don't think. They've earned.
Well,
my
I got
trust
Toronto
at this point.
In 6. Toronto. What's Toronto's? Do we have? Is this? Oh, stand up, guys. Stand up. I'm standing up.
Are you going to sing?
You're not Canadian. You're not Canadian.
Of course, I like Canadian ham.
So when the Brazil national anthem comes on, do you stand up?
Of course I do. I stand up for
all. You don't
even
know the song.
Anthems.
If the song came on, you'd have no idea.
All I know is that I see
Old
Celine
Brazil?
Dion no. singing it.
Is that part of you? Are you 16th? Like
of course.
French Canadian?
Yes, I am. Thank you very much. Yes.
All right, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Monday's Red Sox game. I think it's Monday. Let me make sure we get the date right, because last week
we messed that one up.
We're giving away Celtics tickets tomorrow.
Yeah, Monday, April the 15th. We're giving away Celtics tickets tomorrow for Sunday's game. But, we're giving away Monday's game, which is the 11 a.m.
Oh, and Teddy Bruschi is going to be on tomorrow. Bruschi is running the marathon. I saw Teddy. You talk about Gronk being skinny. Teddy is a shell of himself.
I got to show these guys these breasts.
I mean, he doesn't have any because he is. He's got a marathon runner body.
Okay, is he running the marathon or is he running like 3 miles?
No,
like a leg?
He's running the marathon.
You know what I mean? Like we have like 20 guys. Nope. Everyone's running a mile, whatever.
Nope. And that was awesome.
Here's the thing with Teddy. He's got this. He doesn't have a great gait when he walks. Like his, if you ever notice him while he's playing, even when he's just running, one of his legs flares out to the right.
It just flares out. You're so critical of people today.
It's extra challenging for him. It'll be extra challenging for him because he's losing distance because his legs flares out.
So wait, did he have that before the stroke? Or you just making fun of him since the stroke?
No.
I mean, is that what you're doing
before
right
the stroke?
I mean,
no.
You are vicious.
What are you talking about? He's skinny. Can you? If I told you right now, because you're bow-legged. Okay, so you're the last person who should be running. You basically have to run double because your legs,
my knees
aren't straight.
My ankles give out.
Do you really think if someone said, "Hey, Lou, I want you to run the marathon."
No,
You know, I couldn't do it. No, I know for a fact I couldn't do it.
I want nothing to do with the marathon.
Did you see the weather?
It's painful. It hurt. Yeah, it looks like.
See the weather for Monday? Similar to last year. A little bit warmer. So that'll help. But again, rain.
Again,
rain.
Another day.
I mentioned that to Teddy.
I hate the kids die, too.
God, I don't even drive 26 miles in the rain.
No. Nipples chafe and your... don't you bleed?
I think everything hurts.
Is he going to poop his pants? That's what I want to know. Is Teddy
willing...
Why don't
you ask Teddy that
if
tomorrow?
If he has
Teddy,
to go to the bathroom,
did he pull an Izzo?
Is he committed enough to poop his pants and keep running?
Does he pull a Larry Izzo, right?
You guys got a little bitter brew today, huh?
I'm not kidding. That is... These are stories.
Why are you so cruel today to people? You're attacking me.
I'm a realist.
Teddy, attacking Lou.
Being
you attacked me early. You attacked fat
Lou's
people.
Lou's got bullied.
Fat people that were in line here.
That
for
was
the Red Sox game. You were attacking them.
I didn't attack him.
You attacked them. Big people, my ass.
Was it people of size?
People of size. POSs. That's what he called them.
We've realized how to work the system now.
I'm a POS.
Exactly. All right, let's go take some phone calls, and then we'll give away some Red Sox tickets, and we'll let you hear from Alex Cora. If you missed him earlier on the program, some interesting stuff from the Red Sox skipper. Here's Larry in Duxbury. Larry.
Hey, guys. I think the biggest difference between the playoffs for the Celtics and the Bruins is the Bruins have been more consistent lately and more likely to do better. Also, the seventh, home field or ice and court doesn't matter unless it goes seven games. I don't see either of these going seven. And like Russell and Bird used to say, you can't turn it on when you get to the playoffs. I don't see the Celtics going too far.
No, I don't think they're going to get out of the first round, though. And it's because the team that they're playing is not very good.
There's a switch.
Well, yeah. That team has hit the wall.
Yeah, I think they've used up all. I think they've used up everything.
But I'll tell you what, they're going to play their ass off. They're going to play hard against you. They're going to defend, and they're big up front.
The thing you worry about is because regardless of what you think of Marcus Smart, okay, this guy was an energy. He was an attitude. I mean, he's the king of the loose ball.
Mark is
this
stupid.
This guy, I guess, not inspires, but listen, this is the way we need to play. So if a big play needs to be made, if it's in a crucial point in time, he's usually involved in it.
Who's going to be physical now? Baines, right? Who else?
Morris.
Who's going to be physical?
You hope?
Maybe.
Nah.
But that's what Smart did. See, to me,
no, you need
if
that
you
in
lose
playoff.
If you lose Marcus Smart for 12 games, 15 games in the regular season, it's not a big deal. You lose him in the postseason, I think it's a big deal.
Garson, you boost the league.
Well, if they're going to get out of the second round, then they're going to. And I don't know what it looked like. He got shot and died when he actually hurt his oblique.
He said he was fine day to day.
I mean, when you saw that reaction, as you said, for him, you don't know.
No, he's a tough guy though.
He's a drama queen. There's no question about it. So, but when you hear oblique, you're like, okay. As far as a baseball player, I hear oblique, I say, oh no, you're screwed. Can't swing a bat, core, can't turn, they can't do anything. For basketball, I didn't know, but they were downplaying it, like, oh, okay, maybe it's no big deal.
That's a rare injury.
And now you find 4 to 6 weeks,
yeah,
or 4 weeks, or whatever it is.
Yeah, he's going to miss two.
No, he's done this year.
Two series. And even when he comes back, you wonder what he's going to be like. Here's Bob down in the Cape. Hi, Bob.
How are you guys?
Good,
hey,
Bob.
Bob.
Hey, Kyrie keeps saying that he's going to step it up in the playoffs. So that's the only thing we got going for ourselves, right?
Well, Kyrie stepped it up all year. The other guys
had a career year.
We got Tatum. We got Brown. They might outshine Kyrie, but the ball's going through Kyrie's hands all the time.
Okay.
I'm not afraid of Hayward coming off the bench or starting. Let Brown come off the bench, and he could have that whole second unit, it's almost a starting unit.
See, here's why I don't buy the flip the switch, okay? I think it's been something they've been just saying because they know what's inevitable, that they're going to lose. You tell me, has there been a stretch where you started to believe in this team?
No.
Have they had a 4-5-game stretch where you, throughout 82-game season, have they had a 4-5-game stretch where you said, wow, this is the level they can play at, and if they do that, they can get to the NBA Finals.
No, what Bob just said is...
I mean, honestly...
Is no. Stuff we look at on paper, right? It's on paper. And we sit there and go, oh, my God, look at they have a great second team. But have we seen any of that reality?
Then you would see a 10 or 15-game stretch where they're like, okay, there it is. And then you want to coast? Fine, because at least you gave me 10, 15 games, where you went 13-2 because this team is more than qualified to have a run like that. It never happened. So now 82 games? They never gave me a... Hell, they had trouble playing four good quarters in one single game. They did that once in a while, but they never put three, four, five, six games together, let alone 10. So I'm going to believe they're going to just flip the switch and walk in the playoffs?
So we were just talking about this. The Bruins, we all believe the Bruins could go deeper than the Celtics in this thing, even though their ceiling isn't as high. I don't think people are going to get pissed off if they lose in the second round. And it sounds to me like some people will get pissed off if the Celtics win in the second round. But the Celtics will not have home court advantage in round 2, 3, or 4. And they're going to face teams that are better than them. They're going to face Giannis in the second round of the playoffs. He, in my opinion, is going to be the MVP this year in that league. All right, he can take over a game by himself. We've seen this time and time again. I don't know why people are so, and we're hearing a lot of positivity out there about the Celtics. I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Come on, Debbie Downer. They haven't shown it. Blind faith
What's blind faith? You got to be able to see something every once in a while to be able to have some confidence.
So
I think
the first round is easy for me, even though they've been consistently inconsistent.
Because I just don't believe
if they end up even going down 0-2, like last year, was it? When they started last year with against the Bulls, right? It was against the Bulls. A lot of luck went involved because, right, Rajon Rondo got hurt. And next thing you know,
they were down
0-2, yeah. Right? And next thing you know, they just come back and like, wow, that was pretty fortunate.
Yeah.
For them to actually
It's funny you mention that, because how many times do we have people talk about what they did last year in the playoffs? And that's an excellent point. If Rondo doesn't go down with that injury, they lose in that first round.
I just think that these teams have flipped the switch. We've seen it with LeBron's team. Maybe they come out of the gate and they're dominant, then they just sort of coast. But it's like, at least they give you a three-week stretch to where you sit there and you see it. And you know what it looks like. And they prove that that it is there. If you want to now put it and just coast the rest of the way, fine. I'll go back to what I saw in January, what I saw in February. I dare you to find a 10-game stretch where you felt satisfied.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is they're on a very short leash. They got to, certainly after they get past that first round, you've got to win all of your home games. And you got to be able to pick up a road win somewhere. That's what you have to do. It's funny, when you look at the Bruins, could the Bruins, and the way the NHL works, is that even though a team is that much better than another team, we've seen upsets, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Home ice doesn't make a difference. You saw that last night in the first game.
Maybe Columbus upsets them. Who knows?
Maybe. But maybe they upset Tampa Bay in the second round. And then let's look at how it lays out after that. After that, it looks pretty good. They go into the Metropolitan Division, right, probably, and then they go to, you know, Winnipeg, whatever. To me, their road is a lot easier. They have one obstacle in their way, and they're really good. But if they get by them...
Yeah, then we'll be talking about the Stanley Cup.
Look at the obstacles.
We'll be on our way to Vegas.
Nashville. I agree.
I mean, that's...
But the obstacles are the Celtics, the hurdles
in the second round. I agree. And, you know, the second round's Milwaukee. You get through that, it's Toronto. NBA Finals, which you'll never see. Golden State, right? No, that ain't going to happen.
Right.
Bruins? Eh, you never know.
Right.
Man, maybe we should just buy our own tickets.
And just go?
Well, I mean, it's working on our craft.
I'm in.
Hey, why don't you do this type of stuff.
I'm in.
I mean, Nashville will be more convenient. I get it because it's closer, but I'm willing to put in the work and give up my time to go to Vegas for the love of our show.
Okay.
Why don't you figure out the scam the guy came up with, and maybe you can get us all free tickets.
Why don't we just, and we can just treat it as a group trip. We'll bring the wives and everything. We can bring the wives. Go to see Britney Spears with Lou.
Nope, we won't see that.
Britney Spears getting some help right now.
She needs a lot of help. I saw her show. She needs a ton of help.
New help.
This was long after the show. Yeah. Was she having depression problems?
No, she checked herself into a mental hospital.
Yeah, she needs help.
She's having some issues.
Her dad
right
was
now.
Sick, though.
Yeah, she needs help.
Some issue.
Damn, Skippy.
We all have issues. You have issues.
You're my issue. You're my issue.
No, everybody picketing outside's your issue.
Listen, first of all, he's the one that's calling everybody fat. Now, I don't know if it's because he's a fat guy and he's able to call people fat, like, you know, some black guys or, you know, like, can use the N-word.
You're fat.
It is. I mean, it's like, I won't ever use it, even though I'm a person of color, but he's a fat guy and he thinks it's okay to call other people fat.
No, you were afraid to call people fat.
You're fat. Because I'm sensitive. Because I paid attention.
No, that's what the story was about. But you're fearful of doing that.
You made it a lot worse because there were some people of size outside the window.
And you called them fat.
You turn around and said, look, he's calling you fat. And they just looked at you like they wanted to stab you.
That doesn't make sense. You dig?
Total fucker move.
It really was.
How about the love affair? Can we talk about the love affair between him and McDonough?
Oh, my God.
Whenever somebody of what he considers a peer comes in, he becomes so different. You're a different person.
How was I different?
You're just, you're, you know, it's almost like a, you know, it's like a, you guys are whipping them out, trying to find out who's
Excuse
bigger.
Excuse me.
You know, it's like, no, I did
what
this.
What's wrong with you
this.
Today? What is wrong? What is wrong with you?
Huge.
And Lou's going to think about this for the next few hours. You've got to work with the guy tonight.
Am I right, though, Lou? He acts different.
I think Glenn felt a little threatened because Sean was talkative.
Oh,
and
that's
he wasn't.
That's
didn't want to
Sean's
cut
very
him off.
Talking. He tried to keep up,
and he wasn't.
No, I like Sean.
He just didn't. You didn't butt in like you normally do with us four.
I'm not here. I butt in
to protect you guys.
I knew that we were not going to get a word in. I was not even going to try. I don't try to battle him. Francesa was the same way. His ears perk up. He gets all excited. It's like a competition. And weird watching it in person.
You remember, listen, Mike, it wasn't like this back in the 90s. You remember early 80s?
We get it.
We'd be the only people here.
We get it.
You remember, right? I'm like you. You're like me. We've been doing it together.
These young guys don't understand the struggle.
Trying to get a middle seat.
Sean, remember when you were on the Big Show back in the day? Remember that was great? I had guests.
You had guests.
We all had guests. It was great.
And we were trendsetters. Now everybody's doing it. I am just Twitter and Snapface and Instagram.
Back in our day, when men were men.
Yeah, line them all up.
Bring them all in.
You are different, though, when guys like that come in. All kidding aside, you're just different. You are.
I'm like an owl.
You're different. Lou agrees with me. I said, isn't he weird that when guys like this come in?
Of course, Lou agrees with you on every show. Lou agrees with you.
No, it was obvious.
It was obvious. A couple of lovers. You agree with everything he said.
I know. Okay, listen. I'm not going to fight
with you guys every single day to create some conflict on the program.
Sure, you're the greatest.
You guys have this big
hug. You get everything.
By the way, we're half an hour away from you guys doing the man hug on the way out.
Someone print me.
Sorry, Jerry's not here for you to get off my lawn segment.
What's wrong with Jerry?
You'll call Jerry in a way.
You got a problem with Jerry now.
What? The problem?
You keep on bringing up Jerry.
The only one
to
identify what Jerry has morphed into.
What has he morphed into?
We used to kid him for being the get off my lawn guy. Right. He is actually that
get
person.
Get off my
now.
Lawn.
I don't know if he's miserable.
Does Jerry call the Duke
thought,
go away? No.
He's angry and irritated by everything.
He's working with mud every day.
Everything.
Sucks.
He's always bitching and complaining about something. So he's never happy.
His brain trust is Mutt and Chris Curtis.
Yes.
Would you be miserable?
But it's like since Minahan has left, he's gone into this weird, deep depression.
Yes. What else
but
did
it's not.
Wrong?
He's not sad. He's
everything
angry.
Everything pisses him off.
Everything. Ah, stupid. He's a jerk. He's not happy about anything.
Do you want to fight him?
And so it's not that I have a problem with him. I've seen it. And I'm like, what is wrong? He's actually the person who we used to joke about. He's really that guy.
He's always funny. Been angry Callahan.
Fun. No, he's been. There's fun-loving Callahan. I've hung out with Callahan. He's not the old get-off-my-lawn guy.
So he goes into a show and he's just pissed.
I think he's just angry when he wakes up in the morning.
Yeah.
And he's like. Rah, 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 rah,
rah, rah, rah, he drives rah, rah, home and he calls Glenn between shows.
Yeah, because he doesn't have. See, Glenn used to stabilize him.
Yeah.
You know, when Glenn, when Jerry was done with the morning show,
can't
Glenn would come
out.
In, stabilize him. How you doing?
There's no Jerry time going on.
There's no Jerry time anymore.
Jerry
time happens, afterwards.
Can we stop? This is unbelievable.
I've already told Jerry, medication. He needs medication.
He's not going to do the medication thing.
But see, I have it very good. I have you two guys, you know, with your flaws.
This argument sucks.
But I have you two guys doing a show, and I feel good about it.
I think we should
actually do
something.
I come to work every day, and I feel good.
I will loan you to Jerry for a week. I think
I'm not going anywhere. I can't do that.
It's 4 weeks.
Screw
I think
you.
It's good for the company. It's good for the company.
You
stabilize Jerry.
The company.
You stabilize him.
You care.
You bring
about
him
the
back
company.
To you know to his equalizer. You know,
Christian,
and just
one
bring
day.
Him to a good one.
No,
one day.
One day.
Yeah.
Think about the time you can spend between breaks.
Oh my God!
Think about
how happy you guys would be.
No, you can
talk about how. Wait a minute. Why does this turn on me?
The show starts.
Yeah.
Oh my God! You'd be in heaven.
You would be
It'd
so
be good
happy
therapy for everybody.
Just you two together, right?
Oh.
We should do that. We don't want to lose you. We love you, but I feel like we should. We'll take Mutt.
You take Mutt.
We'll take Mutt.
We'll
yeah, I love Mutt.
Take Mutt.
Yes.
Okay, you take Mutt.
That'll be perfect.
We'll just
one day.
For a day.
Good. You
take
one
let's
day.
Let's try to get Jerry's
good.
Mind back to where it needs to be.
You're pigeoning. You're pigeoning now.
Like mental health.
Pigeoning.
I think he needs that for his mental health.
Won't have any listeners. You get Mutt. You get
that's okay.
One,
okay.
Week. Month, one day. You think you're going to take our listeners to the morning?
Yes. Let's go, Reds.
Drive it in person.
Actually, you know, the people who follow you are old enough. Yeah, they go to bed before our show starts. I forgot.
His fans are up at 3:30 in the morning for the day.
But they're in bed by 4:30.
Do you want to give away a couple tickets to the Red Sox game on Monday?
I sure
want to. All right. We're going to do it next. We'll take phone calls. 617-779-7937. Listen carefully and during the break here for our Red Sox ticket promotion. Don't go anywhere. Listen now.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're back with more Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, back here in OMF at 617-779-7937. Earlier today, we sat down to talk with Alex Cora. I must tell you that just his demeanor and everything else, this did not look like a man who's managing a 3-9 team like a team is in trouble, right? There was tons of confidence. He was feeling really good about it. We talked to him initially about what he told us in spring training, and that was that he was going to do something different. Instead of turning the page, which Belichick talks about every single season, and even after you win a championship, he was going to continue on, and he was going to pick up right where they left off. So I gave him the opportunity. Did he want to change that approach?
We just need to start pitching, play better baseball. I'm a big believer of what I said in spring training, what I went through in the offseason. You know, different coaches coach different ways. It just happened that, you know, in my first year, good things happen, and I learned from it right away. Obviously, I'm still learning. This is my second season. I'm very convicted. I have a lot of conviction in the things that I believe in, and, you know, it's just 3-9. That's it. You know, I know it doesn't look great. It's a bad start, but at the same time, I know the talent that we have. I know that pitching is going to get better. You know, if you tell me over 160 games this is going to happen, I'll pack my things and go home.
Ooh, magic.
Well, listen, it is. The pitching's been atrocious. You know, but it's not just that. I mean, there's been moments last year where the pitching was bad, and then you just the offense you looked at and said they're going to come back and win a game. Right? I mean, and so you're not getting anything from this team at all, in my mind. You know, so you're not getting the pitching. The offense isn't consistent. Defense, base running, they're not aware. Teams are taking advantage of them. The whole thing has been extremely disappointing. Now, hopefully it changes tonight. Hopefully it changes soon, because you can't keep this up.
And not to completely dissect it, but you're right. So last year, if the pitching sucked or the bullpen just, you know, broke down, you had a bunch of offense. If you weren't hitting and, you know, you had really good pitching. Just the opposite this year. Nothing is going right. The timing sucks. Even the beginning of the season, the pitching has been crappy, but the bullpen's been good. Now, the bullpen's specifically the last
Wednesday
game was shaky.
It was shaky.
Yeah. So it's just a weird, it's almost like, and even Chris Sale's saying that he's completely off. He's completely lost. That would worry me if my best player this early in the season was talking about how lost he's been. So lost that it's the worst he's ever felt in his career.
Well, I think people are having a difficult time of trying to get a grasp of it and figure it out. And I noticed that first five or six games, people were all over us on Twitter because we're sitting there going, stop it. It's early in the season. And they're coming back and haunting us to this day. They're 3-9. Is it still too early? Well, I would agree with them that I would have thought with a good team, and I believe this is a really good team, maybe suspect in the bullpen. We'll see how that plays out. But a good team, they would have figured this out five, six games ago.
Yeah.
Well, I don't see the urgency. Houston's figured it out. They swept the Yankees.
This team, again, they made other teams play it like their tempo. You know what I mean? It was just like they overwhelmed other teams. Well, they always started off the series well. You think about, this is the fourth series they've played. Okay, they're not going to win this one. They might be able to split it. So the first series against Seattle, they got absolutely embarrassed in opening day, right? It was like 14-5. Sale got bombed.
First game against Oakland, they lost 7-0.
Yeah, everyone.
They went down to Arizona. I think it was 15-8 in game one. You talk about setting a tone in the series. That team was amazing, you know, at winning game one of a series. They were great at winning the getaway days, that final day of a series. They were just winning series left and right. Last night, the first game of that series, the Toronto Blue Jays. I mean, it was embarrassing. So you know, 7-5. I know 7-5 is not a blow up, but not against that team.
No, I hear what you're saying, but good teams shouldn't get worked up because they lose the first game of a series. I would say bad teams do that. If they lose the first game of the season, a first game of a series, it snowballs in a 4-game series. Good teams, Lou, pitching. The next night, your starting pitcher should be out there saying, I'm going to stop the drought.
The starters need to set the tone. He said it with us.
And he's right about that.
He's got five guys that he feels pretty good when he comes to the ballpark and says, these guys are throwing for me tonight. He should feel good about them, but they're just not performing. Now, tonight's Eovaldi, which is, I think it'd be nice. This time of year, you got a guy throwing 97, 98 with a 95-mile-an-hour cutter in the kind of chilly cold. Now, it's not like it was yesterday. So, it's a good fit. With a lineup that doesn't scare you much, Smoke is back in. He's got some pop in this lineup for Toronto. But other than that, he can attack these hitters, throw strikes. But it's going to be about getting this kid Sanchez, the righty. He's really, really good. And he's healthy again. They got to swing the bats. That sets the tone for this team. Benintendi leading off, Mookie Betts being aggressive, attacking balls in the zone. And you're just not seeing any of that aggressiveness that made everybody fall in love with that team last year. Now they're sitting back. And it does. It looks like because they won the World Series, they're rolling the balls out there. We'll just plan on winning. It's no big deal. It'll turn at some point. And sometimes you got to make it turn. You got to go out there and take advantage of opportunities, they're not.
Okay, so is Alex making a mistake by actually saying the same thing he said in the spring, which is, nope, we're not going to turn the page. We're going to, and he pretty much doubled down on it today. We're going to continue doing what we're doing.
Turn the page.
And his take was, look at my starting pitching. He's right. Starting pitch has been, is very good.
Should be good.
All right? He thinks that's going to cure all. He's not going to change the attitude. He's not going to go in there and say anything different than he's been saying in the past. We're going to keep it where it is. I don't know. Is that the right thing to do? Because it's probably very difficult when you've spent a long, hard season and you win that many games. And there's got to be a letdown, right? That's why teams don't win.
There are moments
they don't win back to back.
Well, there's moments when the manager needs to address it, and there's other moments when the players need to look in the mirror and say, "What I'm doing right now, is it acceptable? You know, what do I need to do to fix it?" I've been in all these guys. I mean, there's not too many young kids. They've been in this game. When they hit ruts, they usually know how to get out of it. They usually know when things are going bad, how to change it. So right now, I would say it's up to those individuals to turn the page, whether their manager's saying it or not. Nobody wants to sit there and if you're a 300 hitter, you want to be hitting 200 right now. If you're a very good pitcher, everyone's ERAs are over 8 or 9. So they got to figure this thing out themselves. And, I mean, Alex has got to trust them a little bit, but, you can't go too much farther here before you start dropping the hammer on some of these guys.
Well, if you don't start hitting this weekend in a 4-game series against that Baltimore team, if you don't hit this weekend, then you may want to address it.
Awful.
Well, it's not Chris Davis level here. I mean, let's not act like it's that bad.
Well, Chris, compared to what
he's only 0 for 54.
It's bad compared to what they should be. Yeah. You know, if they're 9th or 10th and slugging and all these numbers, they're middle of the pack in that area. They shouldn't be. This should be one of the top 2-3 offenses in baseball. Probably one or two. It really should be, and they're not. They're underperforming as well, just like the staff. Not as bad, but just as bad.
I was just looking it up. You're going to get warm weather. Matter of fact, it might be 70 degrees on Saturday.
Swing it.
Rain on Sunday. And a lot of rain coming on Monday. So I think right now, don't you want to play Baltimore and play all 4 games? And I would look at this weather report and tell you, especially with an 11 a.m. start on Monday with rain, heavy on Monday morning, they may not get all of these games in.
No.
It's actually good news.
Absolutely good news. All right, we got last calls coming up next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Glenn Ordway, Lou Merlone, and Christian Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Time now for Last Call.
See you later.
I'm done.
And it's been a blast.
I think the show has been a lot of fun.
I mean, I'm letting you go.
I'll let you go.
I'm letting you go.
Last Call.
I don't thrill about the end of it.
Our very, very best. You know, we've saved for last.
Heads down, not since they come.
Where's it gonna fucking end?
Thanks for the ride, everybody. I'll see you around the block.
Bye-bye.
Now, it's Last Call on Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
All right, it's all brought to you by Cars for Kids with a K. Donate your car, help a child today. Schedule your free pickup at 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS or at carsforkids.com. It's just me and Christian. We let Lou go because Lou said, I got to eat.
I'm
famished.
Yeah, he could faint.
I might faint in the sixth inning, and what do I do then? I said, don't worry about it. We got Sean. We got Joe. They'll carry the game
on. Yeah, I was going to say.
Just push your body aside. We're good.
Yeah, you're in a good position. If you do feel a little sleepy or just maybe exhausted, fatigued.
It's not like Tim's in the studio.
No, you're good.
You're fine. Yeah. You're good. So he left, and it's just the two of us. We were talking about this earlier, and there's even more to this whole story, and that is for all of the dysfunction that the New England Patriots were called out on last year. They did go on to win the Super Bowl. So it's almost funny now when you look back at it, and I'm not saying that there wasn't some dysfunction. They were having their issues. But, man, when you look at Pittsburgh, and we were talking about them earlier, and how about Green Bay? I mean, this is a legitimate, as Pittsburgh, as New England is, this is a legitimate championship-contending team. And yet these ex-players and players coming out on the attack of Aaron Rodgers, Jermichael Finley, Greg Jennings attacking him. And finally, Rodgers comes out now, and he speaks, and he's categorizing. He's not backing down. He's categorizing this as a smear attack on his character.
My first, you know, initial thought is, at what point did J. Mike think I was a bad leader? It couldn't have been when I was up in his room every Saturday night before the games, going over plays and talking about checks I was going to make and plays where he was going to be number one read. It couldn't have been when I was at the hospital the night he broke his neck and spent a couple hours with him. Couldn't have been when I followed up and saw how he was doing. So when did this happen where he was like, oh, yeah, he's not a... not a natural born leader. And with Greg, you know, I don't even know what to say with Greg.
Does it bother you?
It bothers me that every time there's an article, it's the same two people. If there's not an article about me, do you ever hear their name anywhere else? Do they get interviews with people? Are they out there making comments? Are they making the rounds on the shows? I would say probably not.
I tell you what, he didn't back down from this one at all. Full guns a-blazing.
So you hear that, and I like that. So when I compare it to Brady and everything that he was going through a couple years ago, last year, really.
With the league.
With not only with the league, but just with all the rumors going on about his relationship and the tension with the Patriots and
what's
Alex
up, guys?
Guerrero. Everybody had opinion. Everybody had some information, had a story to tell. I wish sometimes that Brady would take a page out of Aaron Rodgers' book.
Be best for
and
us.
Call,
what are we
but,
doing?
But here's the thing. So I know the way he thinks. He's like, you know, what am I going to gain out of it?
Right.
I'll tell you what you have to gain. You can call those people out and expose them. Expose them.
The book's out on top.
Piling on and taking away some of their power because anyone can just write anything they want. And the fact that Jermichael Finley, is that what it was?
Yes.
And Jennings, two of the guys that he was throwing the ball to on a regular basis, both guys who are analysts for big networks, okay, they got to give their opinion, and you start judging somebody's leadership ability. I will say this, Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem like, it just seems kind of odd sometimes. Maybe his style's a little different, but the fact that he comes out because he's so angry, and he's talking about, you know, going over plays on Saturday nights. He talks about being there in the hospital when the guy gets hurt, checking up on him. To me, that's such a slap in the face. Now, has anyone ever done that about Brady? They've never.
No.
Now, maybe there's something to it.
Ex-teammates? Have you heard ex-teammates?
Never.
Come on? Never
so
happened.
Maybe there's something to it, okay? Because on one hand, okay, you would think, hey, listen, obviously Aaron Rodgers is saying, hey, I've been there. So why are you calling me out? Why are you putting me on blast and acting like I don't care about the team when I obviously care about you? So, sure, I wish Brady would have came out and said, you know what? I'm going to expose these guys. I'm going to tell you the truth. That's not true. That's not true. And that's not true. And maybe he does it in his own way. But I like the fact that Aaron Rodgers, with all the criticism that he's getting, especially with his coach, his teammates, questioning his leadership ability. Yeah, you know what? It's time for me to talk. Because these guys are just trying to use me as clickbait, and I'm sick of it.
But I would say this, that he really has been Teflon. He's been protected by the media, by everybody in football.
Who?
Rodgers has.
Oh, that's true.
Over the last 8 years, people describe him many times as the best quarterback in the National Football League, even though Brady keeps on winning all these freaking Super Bowls, right? And wins MVPs.
You'd have more than one.
Right. So they sit there and they praise Aaron Rodgers, and it's everybody else's fault.
It's
McCarthy's fault. You know, maybe it's Finley's fault or it's Jennings' fault or whatever. Maybe these guys are just
Martellus
pissed.
Bennett.
Maybe these guys are just pissed off.
This is Belichick's fault.
That he's Teflon. That he's always been protective. When we don't win, Aaron Rodgers, it's never Aaron Rodgers' fault. It's always our fault. It's always McCarthy's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. And I think that's what's going on. Here's the difference with Tom Brady. And I hear what you're saying. Would we like to hear some of this with Brady for the shows? We would love it. It's a lot better than cryptic tweets or whatever that he was throwing out there last year, or little things in Tom versus Time that we had to sit and dissect and figure.
Oh, look at Tom.
Exactly. But, what the hell are you saying?
Some of the things that are written with unnamed sources, it kind of gets. I think at some point, man, doesn't mean that you're taking the bait and. You know, that's not what it means.
I plead the fifth.
Even that, he would say, well, you know, I have nothing to gain. I'm going to respond to it. People are just going to take that response and they're going to twist that.
I would say this, though, Christian. It makes you appreciate what this organization, players, individuals, coaching staff, whatever, that they were able to pull it together, because we know there was crap last year. Yet they pulled it together to the point of did they maybe go to the playoffs and maybe win a game or two? No! They went all the way and won the freaking Super Bowl. When you look at Green Bay, they can't do that. They can't get by any of that disconnect that they've had. Pittsburgh can't get by it, where an ex-player is now calling out Ben Roethlisberger as being racist and then backing off 3 hours later.
I just want to go back. I just want to go back to the Aaron Rodgers thing.
Yeah.
So there are some red flags, because if Aaron Rodgers is so passionate about calling out Jermichael Finley for questioning his leadership, and obviously Finley knows that Rodgers was there for him, went over plays, went to the hospital, we got hurt, checked up on him. Is Finley just sensitive and needs attention and needs to be mothered by his quarterback? Or is Rodgers unnecessarily defensive over something that, you know, he doesn't want to admit to?
He's defensive right now.
So, to me, it's like there's something doesn't add up. So if Rodgers is so adamant about, listen, I was there for these guys, and yet they still don't see it, then there's something missing.
The problem I have is if Rodgers had phenomenal success, Brady's had phenomenal success, you could look past some of this stuff and say, well, you know, look at Brady gets it done. Rodgers, it's preventing him from getting it done. Whether that's his fault or the disconnect he has with players and coaches and whatever. What are you going to watch tonight? You got the Bruins in game one. You've got the Red Sox against Toronto. They need this game. How about the NBA Wives of Atlanta? You watching? Is that
on
tonight?
Is that a show?
I don't know.
It should be. I think they have a similar show. Like, you know, Scottie Pippen's wife is on one of these shows.
Oh, my God.
I think it's the Kardashians.
Because I know you love those shows. So
I do.
I'm just wondering what you're going to watch.
No, here. I'm going to be dialed into the Bruins.
Really?
I mean, I don't know if I'll watch the whole thing live.
The Bachelor! So I want to compliment you. You did the entire show right up until the end. Lou had to leave a little bit early. Little wuss. He's got to do a 9-inning broadcast tonight. Like, it's a big, huge deal. A
lot of heavy lifting.
Trust me, Sean McDonald will talk 72% of the time. That's what I love about him. And you had a tough day because the people were picketing out in front here.
Because of you. Today.
It wasn't because of
me.
Yes,
it was. Because
you enticed you brought a topic to the crowd that you don't like fat people sitting next to you on an airplane.
See, that's not accurate.
I
pay full price for a seat. I am not paying for somebody else to take half my seat. Why should I put up with that? I pay full price. You pay full price. Would you be okay with me taking half your seat, even if I wasn't big? Let's say I spread my legs the whole time, and I just felt like sleeping on you.
Please.
Can I give you $150 so I can lean my head on you and maybe get some sleep? No.
Rub my leg?
I love
I'm
it.
Telling
you made it,
you
made it a
people.
Consumer issue. Do you notice that,
it's,
Tyler?
It's really the airline's
problem. It's
not a
consumer issue. You hate fat people.
The airlines should know that there's going to be a bunch of different people of different sizes. They need to, you know, devote space for them.
Because you know in 2019, it's easier to blame big bone people than it is to blame the airlines. Big corporate America, you can rip them all you want.
They got money.
I'll give you this. You're pretty smart when it comes to this stuff. You're no fool. Teddy Bruschi will join us tomorrow. on this very program, OMF. We'll be talking about the Bruins tonight. We'll be talking about the Red Sox and a lot of other stuff coming up. Got the big game broadcast coming up next.
Big game broadcast.
Joe Castiglione, Lou Merlone, and Sean McDonough back into the Red Sox booth. We'll catch you all tomorrow, 2 p.m. We're out of here, guys.
Over. We suck.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.